It's time to get in the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back in!
It's Friday, it's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the Zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
And happy Friday afternoon, everybody. It is the Super Bowl special edition of the Zone, live from the Fieldhouse on Copper in Fresno. I am George Takata from Reilly College, where we motivate and inspire students to succeed. Before that, though, 16 years as a sportscaster at CBS 47, 4 years at KC24 as the morning show anchor. Man, what a great, great lineup we have for you. Should be Pro Football Hall of Famer Henry Ellard. Ian O'Connor at 4:30, the author of Belichick. He joins me live from Atlanta. Maureen Brady, the former Fresno State All-American pitcher. And, yes, Tom Brady's older sister also will join me live from Atlanta. Andrew Martin for CBS 47, KC24. He's also in Atlanta. He'll give us an update as what his perspective. And then Cameron Worrell will join me here in the 5 o'clock hour from the Fieldhouse, and we'll talk all things Super Bowl. We've got local angles. We'll talk about the game, the matchups. We'll get in-depth X's and O's with Cam. But first, we got to bring in a very special guest to the Zone, the program. I've known this gentleman for a long time, and it's always been first class. He's Henry Ellard, former Hoover Patriot, Fresno State great, and one of the best wide receivers in the history of the game. Henry joins me live. Hey, Henry, how are you doing? Thanks for the time. How have you been?
I'm doing well, George. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, 11 years with the Rams. You did play for both teams, you know, half a season with New England and 11 years for the Rams, but I'm assuming you're all about the L.A. Rams on Sunday, right?
No doubt.
What are your thoughts about this matchup against Tom Brady and the Patriots?
I tell you what, it should be a good one. You know, because the thing that makes me nervous is the Patriots been there quite often, so they know how to handle things. You know, it'll be kind of new for the Rams, of course, but I'm excited about the talent that we have on our team, especially on the defensive side. We just got to put pressure on Brady.
Now, the Rams have spent a lot of money. They gave Todd Gurley a big-time extension. They spent a lot of money on Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. They have Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters in the corners. That's where all the money has been well spent, and then they made it to the big game. How does this defense, you think, try to contain Tom Brady if they can even do that?
Yeah, you just got to push the big pressure has to come up front, force him out of the pocket. Don't let him get comfortable, because if you let him get comfortable, he'll pick you apart.
When you play 11 years for the Los Angeles Rams, and of course the franchise has a Super Bowl title, but they were in St. Louis. So for you personally,
right,
what would it mean for you to see the Los Angeles Rams hoist up that Lombardi trophy?
Oh, it would be awesome, because, I mean, like I said, that's where I'm used to being in L.A., and even coaching in St. Louis was a little different. It just didn't have the same feel, I thought, you know, than when we were in L.A., and so it was nice to have them back home, and it'd be nice to bring a world championship to the Southern California fans.
Where are you going to watch the game from?
I'll be at home, comfort to home, watching it on TV.
Now, you've been coaching a little bit of high school ball. How's that experience been for you?
I'm enjoying it. When you got these young men, you know, they're eager to learn and trying to do everything they can, that's really what it's all about, and I'm enjoying every bit of it.
You're in Texas doing that. How many seasons have you been doing that now? It's like two or three, right?
Two of the head coach, one other year as the receivers coach.
How is the dynamic in dealing with this generation of high school kids compared to when you were – back in the day in Hoover? Has the style of coaching, I guess, has to change a little bit?
Yeah, it's a different mindset. You know, the game has changed, of course, and I'm in the private sector, so it's definitely a little different. And, you know, academics is number one, which is understandable, especially at this particular school. And football is a secondary thing, but, you know, the guys come out and work hard, and that's all you have to motivate them, you know, to be the best that they can be, not only as players but as students as well.
Now, I know you're a very humble guy. You don't like to talk about yourself, but do these kids know who you are, Henry?
The funny thing about when it comes to, you know, the internet and social media, they find out very quickly. You know, once they found out whose name was, sure enough, they started to Google and everything. Next, you know, they come back the next day, oh, Coach, are you? Yeah, okay, Coach, you all this and all that. It was kind of funny that they light up when they find out exactly who I am.
You're 11 years with the Los Angeles Rams. Do you have a moment that stands out in your career, maybe a game or a play, a touchdown, anything that stands out?
You know, the funny part about it, a lot of people ask me that question, and it's not even football related. Well, it is in a way, just the fact I was blessed to play the game. But the greatest moment for me was when I was able to go home and tell my mom, it's time for you to retire, it's time for me to take care of you. That was that greatest moment of football for me.
That's,
you know, and
awesome.
I was playing the game, God blessed me to play the game for that reason, to tell my mom, okay, mom, you worked hard enough, let me take care of you now. But
well,
other than that, as far as football goes, of course, my first NFL touchdown, which was a punt return against the New Orleans Saints my rookie year.
Well, there you go. You never forget the first touchdown, that's for sure. Hey,
right.
You know, we do have Henry, if you don't mind, we do have a caller calling in. He has a question for you. I hope you don't mind just taking this one special question.
No, man.
You ready for that? Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Eller, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Hey, I remember years ago, we were driving on the 152 going to Los Banos, and we saw the white, you had that white BMW, and then we saw you.
I remember like that was yesterday. They pulled us both over.
We both got caught speeding.
Yeah,
he told me, you park up that bunk, get your buddy.
For those of you who don't know, this is Stephon Page is joining us now, and the former teammates at Fresno State. Henry had to surprise you with Stephon, you know, for this moment. He is in Atlanta at the Super Bowl with his wife, Paula, having a great time. Steph, I got to ask you, Henry, is Henry Ellard a Hall of Famer to you in your mind?
Yes. He, you know what, and I'm wondering what's taking so long, you know, and I know another thing, I know it's that popularity thing, who got to the Super Bowl and this and that, but you know what, you're overdue, buddy, you should have been in there, so, like I said, don't keep expecting you, it ain't gonna happen, because it's gonna happen, that's for sure, so, you know, he should have been in there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Hey, Henry, you go ahead and finish that question now. We kind of interrupted with the laughter. So what was that you were asking him about, the 152?
Oh, no, we were traveling to the Bay Area, and we were trying to get there, you know, a little faster than we needed to. And it just happened to be a highway patrolman and ended up pulling us over.
Did you guys get away with it, or did you get the ticket?
I had to go back.
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah, did he let us go? Or did he write us up? But I think he let us go. When I don't know if we had.
But I'm pretty sure we're trying to use any car that we can pull at that point in time.
Can you guys share a good Fresno State story, Henry? How about a good Fresno State story involving the two of you?
I'll tell you what. The one I remember is we ran a reverse pass. Mm-hmm. Stephon got the reverse. I went down the field. He threw me a pass for a touchdown.
Perfect spiral, or no?
I mean, yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect.
It wasn't a
duck. Another thing,
it was
you
not
know, a moment that I remember, and I didn't even end up playing the game with the Cowboy. I was hurt. I was out with a shoulder injury. And I tell you what, talking about a guy taking over a game, Stephon showed off in that particular. How many touchdowns did you have, 3 or 4?
I think I had 3.
Yeah. I mean, he took over this game, and it was amazing. Then, of course, young freshman, good luck, Sean. Vince Wesson, you know, won it at the end for us. So
yeah.
it was a great time.
We can't forget Vince. Of course, he's a local hero for that touchdown.
Right.
But then you, Steph, had 3 of your own. Henry, I got it.
Yeah.
Steph, what that pass? What was that play called? Do you remember what the play call was?
No, I couldn't. I just know it was reverse pass.
I know you remember, Coach. Usually what Coach would do, Coach Sweeney would put in a special play for the week. And we would work it And I think in practice, I figure it worked in practice, so I don't think we were going to have a problem. Cause I couldn't wait for it to be called. But when he called it and they called that play, I was like, okay. So I wanted to make sure I got possession of the ball and gave a clean handoff to Henry. You know, so I don't know if you remember, we had another pass where we did the Z pass, and we played Utah State at Fresno State. And I went back and I threw you a, it was at the same play with the reverse, which actually that's the same one. It's probably the same play we're talking about. But I remember that play just like it was yesterday.
Henry, you remember
it's
that
something
play?
Else. You know, and the crazy part about it, that year, everything we tried worked.
It did.
Everything we were doing, everything that we tried, it went to big playing for us.
I mean, I guess Jeff, it was so easy for Jeff because he kind of looked at it, and I guess he knew he could go to either side, and he had confidence that it doesn't matter what side you go through. He knew it was going to be something happen, and also the time, it was a big play. So we knew, it was dynamic because Henry was one of those type of players that you want him to touch the ball as much as you can, but I'm the other guy going like, well, just let me have what's left over, and I'll do what I got to do with it. But, you know, it just worked so well the way we worked together. And, you know, there was no animosity. In fact, I was his biggest fan. He was my biggest fan. And only thing that I got mad about, I never probably told him was, man, you left me in the Cowboy. I needed you. But thank God that it worked out.
Because you took over.
Yes.
You took over. It's your day to shine.
Yes.
I tell you what, you took
Absolutely.
Advantage of every opportunity.
Yes.
That's what it's all
yes.
about.
Yes.
Now, Jeff Tedford was your quarterback at Fresno State, both of you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
How proud are you of him now for turning around the program? We'll start with you, Henry.
I tell you what, you know, and I was there a couple of years ago for one of the games. I was, you know, honorary captain. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be sitting up in one of the suites talking to the athletic director, and he had asked me that question. He said, you think Jeff would be a good fit? I said, you couldn't ask for a better guy.
Wow.
Since he's had at the college level from Cal, it speaks for itself. And he's alumni, you know, coming back. You couldn't ask for a better guy. And sure enough, he's done a great job of turning the program around.
How about you, Steph? How proud are you of Jeff?
Well, you know, I'm like, you know what? It's like a dream come true when you're going like, we need one of our guys, somebody we know and we played with. What made it really special is, and I know you probably feel the same way, Henry, was, man, he was the guy throwing us the balls when we was there. So just to have that tradition and you know what? And I would like to see when Jeff finished and his legacy is continued through, that we'll have another former Bulldog that played take over that program. And that would be great to see. So I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Henry, what do you think? You know, when you're done with this high school thing in Texas, you can come back when Jeff's retired, you can coach the Bulldogs.
I'm good. I'm good.
Steph, you can coach the wide receivers, and we can have a big-time reunion.
You know what? Now, if he decide he want to do that, and I'm still in my right mind, can remember stuff. You know what? I'm in. Okay, so now you know, Henry. Now you know how I feel about it. If you feel like he ain't gonna do it, then I ain't got to worry about it. So we'll be all right.
Now, you guys are awesome. Was there a time you guys played each other when you got to the NFL?
Yeah, I want to say my early on. I can't remember if it was 83 or 84.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, you guys came to Kansas City. Sure did.
Who won?
We sure did. Now, also, you remember we did that American Bowl game in Germany. You remember we did that game in Germany?
Yeah, that's right. We sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I couldn't tell you who won. I have no idea. Too many
None of that matters. Do you guys keep in touch with each other often? I mean, as much as you can?
As much as I can.
Yeah, we stay in touch for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this. Oh, go ahead, Steph.
I was going to say, you got certain guys that, you know, it's just like, you know, when and our connection that me and Harry have, it kind of went, it was on the field and off the field, because we got our two sons, they were connected, and we had our daughters.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. It was like we stuck together. I said, if And I guess you could hear it, Henry. I said, if the Lord would ask me who you want on your list, who you want a roommate with, Henry, you'd be my guy.
Yeah, same here, that's for sure, no doubt.
So, yeah, go ahead, George. Get back to your thing.
Hey, Henry, I got to ask you before we let Steph go, what were practices competitive between the two of you guys as well?
No, we just complimented one another. Uh-huh. That's what it was all about, making each other better. It's, you know, good competition, good friendly competition is really what it was all about.
Now we
push one another, make each other better.
There you go.
We've had some great receivers, you guys. It was with Keyshawn Johnson this year. Of course, Devontae Adams, Stephen Baker,
yes.
Gene Taylor.
Yes.
It goes up, Rodney Wright. It goes on and on and on and on. But are you guys, the two of you, the best duo in Fresno State history?
Oh, no doubt.
Hey, nah, come on. Because I'm like, know what, Henry? I'm like, know what we started? Because none of those guys would ever have been able to go there if it wasn't because they always say because of us. So I want you to know, Henry, that we laid a foundation and we set it to bar high. And if you look at it, every guy that's came out, he's a guy that's been productive. He's produced and he's been a guy that's been make an impact. So two impact players that they've seen do it, they want to be just like us. So you know what? Thank you. We're blessed to be able to say we set that foundation, you know, we're hoping that many's going to follow these guys that came after us, that they're going to continue to have that legacy about producing wide receivers.
Right. And they talk about, you know, I go back to my first year when we played at Rutgers Stadium. I think about the guys that played in the 70s. They say they were a stadium builder that allowed a Bulldog team to be built. We were the stadium filler.
There you
go. Came out to watch us and the way we produced on the field, and it was an awesome time.
Before we let the both of you go, I know Steph, I asked you about Henry in the Hall of Fame, but Henry, do you think about it? Did you just one of those things where if it happens, great. If not, you're fine.
Every year it comes up, I hate it because you know how I am. I just don't like to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, I was blessed to play the game not just for 1 year, but for 16 years, and it was a blessing. If it happens, it's icing on the cake, you know, the way I kind of look at it. But I don't linger and think about on a daily basis because, like, I was blessed to play the game, and I'm happy about that.
It's just this time of the year it always pops up. I mean, 814 receptions, 13,777 yards, and 65 touchdowns. I mean, it's better. Steph, his numbers are better than some guys who are in the Hall.
Man, okay. I'm just saying if you want to go numbers, my boy should have been in. But when you go popularity, how many Super Bowls you won and all this and this, you can't go on that. You got to go on this guy belong. He deserves to be there because look at what he did. Not only was he – okay, this is me personally, okay? I'm speaking for me. Not only was he the greatest, one of the greatest receivers I've ever seen play the game, he was one of the greatest punt return, special team punt returners that you're going to ever see, you know. So he's got it two ways that he can actually go in. He can go in as a punt returner, a special teamer. So I'm wondering which one is it where they're going to finally say we're going to let him in. Miss him. One of them, they're going to let you in here. They can't keep that door closed too long. They're going to let you in.
we'll see what happens. I'll tell you what. If I do go in, I'm going to thank all 10 of my quarterbacks that I played with.
Yeah, there you go. Hey George,
sure.
Henry.
I wish I would have had the opportunity to play with one or two guys.
Yeah.
That's why I played with this.
Hold on. We on the radio.
Is he down here?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, George, you and Henry, I got somebody. I got Mike Merriweather. He want to say hello to y'all.
Go right ahead.
How you doing?
You got him on speaker?
You're on,
what's up,
Mike.
Brother? Not too much. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. That's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, man. It's been a minute. I'm proud of you, man. All that work you done put in. Yeah, brother.
Hey, same for you, man. Class of 83. Class of 83.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was going to say, too, man, I remember that NXX.
Oh, yeah. Man. That was my toy. That was my baby.
Oh, you're talking about your ride?
Yes. I had this thing. I had this thing for having little sports cars, and NSX was one of them. And I really enjoyed that car. Got me in a lot of trouble on the freeway, but other than that, I still enjoyed it.
Well, you weren't the one getting you weren't the one getting
the ticket
on the 152.
Hey, good hollering at you, man. I'm gonna give you back your staff.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
So that was Mike Merriweather, former Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, he was a linebacker. Yeah, the play came out of class of 83 with our draft picks.
Did he hit you across the middle on a slant every now and then or no?
No. He took it easy on me. That's for sure.
Well, you know what? This was a great way to start the show. Steph, Henry, I love you guys. I really appreciate the time. And Steph, continue to have a great time in Atlanta. And you are now Henry's agent when it comes to getting him into Canton.
Hey, you know what? Whatever he needs me to do, I'll ballot our whole signs on the corner, whatever he needs me to do. But he's going to get there. And whatever I got to do, I'm going to voice my opinion, and he should be there. So, like I said, I like the attitude of saying, you know what? And I'm going to say this before we go. My mom used to always tell me, what God has for me is for he has for you. And I know if Mama Ella would say that, she would say the same word. So we just trust in God. He knows when it's time, but it's going to happen. And we're going to see it while we're still living. So I'm not going to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right, Steph, thanks a lot. Hey, Henry, I hope you enjoyed the surprises that we had for you here this afternoon.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. It's always nice to reconnect, that's for sure, and I enjoyed every bit of it. I appreciate it.
Henry, you're one of the best football players I've ever seen, and enjoy the Super Bowl from the comforts of your home, and go Rams, man. Go Rams.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Henry, for the time.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Henry Ellard, Stephon Page, and Mike Merriweather. There you go. That's the way to get it started. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ian O'Connor, the author of Belichick. He is also in Atlanta. We are live in the zone from the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, the Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Fieldhouse. It's in the zone. What a great way to start it with two of the best ever wear the Bulldog uniform, Henry Ellard and Stephon Page, talking about their speeding tickets on the 152 and Stephon Page throwing a touchdown pass to Henry and the Cow Bowl where Henry got hurt. Steph scored three times. Vince Weston caught the game winner. It's great memories. Great memories. And, of course, Henry's pulling for the Rams in Super Bowl 53. Even though he played for both teams, he played like the Patriots for like five games or something like that. We're going to get Ian O'Connor on the line here momentarily. He's the author of Belichick, and just goes deep into the mind of one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, and with that said, here he is, Ian O'Connor, live from Atlanta. The author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday night for you, 7:30. How's the Super Bowl week been going for you?
Oh, so far so good. We had a little wintry weather at the beginning of the week, but today it was 60 and sunny, so given that I'm from the New York area, it's hard to complain about that.
Ian, by the way, a senior writer at ESPN.com as well, nationally acclaimed columnist, and the author of three previous books. What was it like to, I guess, dissect the mind of Bill Belichick?
Well, first off, he did not cooperate. He declined to do that. So I interviewed 350-plus people to get inside that mind and behind those Kremlin-like walls in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And it was the biggest challenge of my professional career, 30-plus years, really. And I expected that. I signed up for that. And what I wanted to do was deliver the defining portrait of the man, not just the coach. That's what I wanted to pull off, and hopefully readers will see that I did. And I really, Bill as a human being, particularly away from the facility, I think there are a lot of anecdotes in the book that would surprise people that he's an entirely different person away from work. And that's really at the heart of the book.
With the way that he's had Tom Brady by his side all this time and owner Robert Kraft, I know there's been some tense moments with those two gentlemen for Coach Belichick. How do you think he's been able to manage those relationships, continue those relationships, and still have this tremendous amount of success?
Well, the relationship with Kraft has always been interesting. It's transactional and in that it's sort of business only. And Bill, when he's at work, it's 24/7. He's focused on the upcoming opponent. There are times over the years where he's walked by Kraft in the hallway and not even said hello to him. And he's so engrossed in thought and doesn't want to waste 10 seconds with small talk, even with the guy paying him millions of dollars to coach his team. So with Brady last year, that relationship unravel temporarily. I had sources tell me in the book that in late March, Brady was still thinking of walking away rather than playing for Bill one more season. So they overcame that, though Brady was the only quarterback out of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL who did not attend OTAs. He sent a direct message to his head coach that he wasn't happy. And they overcame that, survived it barely, and now they're back in a functioning, working place as the best coach-quarterback partnership of all time. But the relationship, when Brady has needed love and warmth and affection, he's gone to Kraft. They are close. They're friends. It's a father-son type of relationship. They live right next to each other. At times last year, it was Tom and Robert versus Bill, in a sense. But I think they're all past that now and probably going to win Sunday night for ring number six.
That's the Patriots have been, when it comes to Super Bowls, they've never blown anybody out. They've never blown they've never been blown out. So do you expect this to be a close game as well on Sunday?
I do. I think I think in the 30s, relatively high scoring. And I think the Patriots win a fairly close game with 34-30, something along those lines. And it is interesting. They could have lost all eight Super Bowls, and they could have won all eight. And I'm sure that – I wrote a book about Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus once, their rivalry. And I remember Arnold won the Masters one year by a landslide. And every other big tournament, it felt like anyway that he was in, he either won or blew. It was hard – stopping moments down the stretch on Sunday. And he said it felt so good to actually win going away for a change. He could enjoy that walk up 18 on Sunday. Well, I think the Patriots would love to have a moment like that towards the end of their dynasty here where they can maybe win by 17 points. So with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter or 5 minutes left, they can actually enjoy it a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen, but I know that if it did happen, they would savor the moment.
If the relationship between Brady and Belichick is frosty at times, and Tom Brady says he wants to play until he's 45, can these two continue to have a winning relationship, you think, for four more seasons?
Yes. Yeah, and in this sense, it's amazing that it took 18 years before there was a public fracture in their relationship last year. I mean, to be working in close quarters day after day, year after year, we all have personal and professional relationships that are very strong where we love people in those relationships, and yet we'll have arguments and not talk to that person for periods of time if you're together for 18 years. So it was bound to happen. It finally did last year over the Alex Guerrero situation, Brady's trainer, Bill cutting team access to him, the benching of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Brady and many players on the team were really angry about that. And so I do think they're back. They survived the one tumultuous moment in time that they had to survive. And I do expect that they can play and coach together for another four seasons before maybe calling it quits.
We're talking to Ian O'Connor, the author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Who are some of the people that you interviewed for this book?
Well, a lot of them wanted to remain anonymous for the obvious reasons. So, my favorite all-time sports book is When Pride Still Mattered by David Moranis about the great Vince Lombardi. And Lombardi was no longer with us. He wasn't on the planet. And so people probably was an easier process getting people to talk for that book. With Belichick, not only is he on the planet, he's very, very, very much the active head coach of the Patriots still. So to try to paint a full and honest picture of who he is, I had to grant anonymity to a number of people to protect their relationships with Belichick. So I wouldn't be able to rattle off the most profound or important people or voices in this book for that reason. But suffice to say that in talking to 350-plus people, there were very significant figures in every aspect of his life going back to childhood who contributed to this book.
How much of his personality is in part, large part, to his military upbringing? The Naval Academy scout, and just the military upbringing he's had. Is that pretty much how he's kind of developed his personality over the years through that?
Yeah, very much shaped him as a young man growing up around Navy's Heisman Trophy winners, Joe Bellino and Roger Staubach. And I think his father was, of course, a longtime assistant at the Naval Academy for decades. And I had a couple of former players at Navy tell me that they felt Steve Belichick train them not only as football players, but to be future combat officers, because every day, every detail, there was real urgency attached to it, whether those student athletes were in the classroom or on the football field to train the officers. And I think that had a profound impact on Bill. It really did. And there's a reason why the Patriots treat mini camp in the spring or preseason practice or games with Game 7 of the World Series urgency. I think part of that, the big part of that, really comes from Bill growing up around the Naval Academy in Annapolis.
Now, has Coach Belichick talked to you at all about the book after it's come out? Has he said nothing to you at all?
Nothing directly to me. I've heard from some people close to him that they did believe it was a very fair portrayal of him. Mm-hmm. And I've asked him questions in news conferences. He's answered those questions.
Yeah.
Before my first game I covered in Foxborough after the book came out, I contacted the PR chief of the Patriots, Stacey James, and said, listen, if Bill or anyone else in your organization has any problem with the book or me, I'll come up there and sit down with him face to face and we'll hash it out. And he called me back and he said, I've checked and there's no need for that. Cover the game. Nobody has any significant issues that I'm aware of with your book. And that was that. So I don't suspect that Belichick will ever say anything about it to me, because he didn't want any part of the process. And maybe he feels like just not acknowledging it would be the best way for him to go. Either way, he doesn't owe me anything and that's fine. I know the work that was put into it, and given the response I've gotten from people I really respect, I think I achieved what I set out to achieve.
Now, do you think he secretly owns a copy of it?
Yes. I think he's read it probably twice. He'll never admit that, and there are people close to him who I'm sure read it and at the very least briefed him on it, but if somebody wrote a book on your life and talked to hundreds of people, I think it would be very, very difficult for you not to start leafing through the pages of that book. And so who knows? That would be just a feeling. I don't know that for a fact. But just going on human nature, you would think that he at least found some time during a bye week or some other portion of the season to at least leaf through it.
Now, you're also the author of The Captain, The Journey of Derek Jeter. What was it like writing that book?
Well, I had a professional relationship with Jeter dating back to his days as a rookie when I was a columnist in New York, and it was a professional relationship. It was respectful. Jeter didn't let anybody in, so there was a distance to it. But with Belichick, I had no foundational relationship, no relationship at all with him. So I was really starting from scratch. Jeter was one of the signature athletes that I've covered in my time, like 30-plus years in the business. And that was challenging because he does try to keep you at arm's length. He doesn't let many people into his inner circle. But at least, again, I had a professional relationship with him, and that made that task a whole lot easier than Belichick. Belichick was Jeter times 1,000.
And last question before we let you go. I know you're pressed for time in Atlanta, and we do appreciate it. So what on Sunday, Super Sunday, what storylines are you expecting to unfold? What storylines would you like to see unfold in regards to maybe Coach Belichick and the Patriots here? Obviously, they have a good chance of winning this game, but do you have an opinion as to what you would like to see happen?
Well, for the book's sake, the Patriots winning, I would think, would be the desirable result. But I never root for things like that. I think you just root as a columnist or somebody in the press box who's writing a story off the game for the best available story, the best available angle, whatever that is. And, the Rams are more than capable of winning this game. Aaron Donald blowing up the offensive line with Sue, giving him some help in doing that. That seems to be the formula to me, because I was there when the Giants beat the Patriots in two Super Bowls, and they did it by pressuring Brady up the middle with that defensive front the Giants had. And the Rams have a similar front in terms of being able to put pressure on the quarterback, particularly up the middle, and Brady can't step into his throws if these guys are collapsing the offensive line into him. That, to me, is the Rams' formula to win. Patriots, if Sony Michel runs for over 100 yards, I think they win. They've been winning when they have that in place, and it takes some pressure off of Brady. And the offense really is clicking when Michel is running the ball. So should be, I think, a very good game. The Rams, on paper, have more physical talent. McVay is a brilliant young coach, so it should be a lot of fun.
He's Ian O'Connor, the author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian, thank you so much for the time. Really do appreciate it. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and looking forward to myself getting a copy of that book. You got me going over to Barnes & Noble to get a copy. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and enjoy the game yourself.
All right. Sounds great. Ian O'Connor joining us. The author, that must have been interesting, to write a book interviewing over 300 people about a certain person and then not having any words uttered by the person you're writing about in the book. That is some hardworking journalism right there. And he's one of the better authors we have, sports authors we have in the country. All right, we've got to take a break. Cam Worrell's already here, drinking water, prepping for his Super Bowl analysis with me, Rams, and the Patriots. Maureen Brady at the top of the hour. She'll talk about her little brother Tommy a little bit in detail as he gets ready for his 9th Super Bowl. We are live from the Fieldhouse in Fresno on Copper, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
Welcome back, everybody. In the zone here at The Fieldhouse in Fresno. We are live here. Great sports bar here on Copper. The bar is open. Jen is tending bar today. We've got really great food here, too. I mean, the asada nachos, this is the best nachos in town. I love the asada nachos here. They are fantastic. In fact, I'm going to order some. Let me get some of the asada nachos to go along with my orange juice that I am enjoying as well. All right, so Ian O'Connor, the author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Fascinating to be able to interview or write a book about someone like that without interviewing the person. Andrew Martin will also join me live from Atlanta about 5:20. Maureen Brady, top of the hour, 5 o'clock. I do have three pair of tickets to the Fresno State men's basketball game against New Mexico tomorrow night at 7 is tip-off time. Tomorrow night from the Save Mart Center at 7 p.m. Of course, Paul Loeffler and Coach Q with the call on that. Three pair of tickets to give away tomorrow. Fresno State men's basketball hosting New Mexico at the Save Mart Center, 7 p.m. If you are here in the Fieldhouse and want these tickets, come on up and get them. I'll give you a pair. Or you can just walk right up to me and say, hey, can I get some tickets? And sure enough, I'll give you a pair. Fresno State very much in the thick of things for a Mountain West title. And New Mexico is the team that went that hosted 8th-ranked Nevada at the time and took them to the woodshed. So this is going to be a very tough matchup for Fresno State. But they are at home, and the comforts of home are always, always better. Better odds when you're at home. All right. Super Bowl Sunday. I love it. I mean, I did a Twitter poll on which matchup folks would like to see the most, and this matchup got the least amount of votes, this one. This Rams-Patriots, it got 10% of the vote. I had 120 voters, thank you, on my Twitter page, at George Takata. 10% of you wanted to see this game, so enjoy it. Saints-Patriots came in next to last, 20%. Saints-Chiefs, 28%, which is, well, Saints-Patriots is what a lot of people think should be happening on Sunday. Saints-Chiefs got 28% in the game people wanted to see the most. Rams-Chiefs Part 2 got 43% of the vote. And we all remember what happened on that Monday night in Los Angeles when the Chiefs and Rams played that epic, epic high-scoring affair. that Monday night with the Rams winning that game, by the way. That was just an incredible game. I wanted that matchup too. I thought that would be a lot of fun. But the one that we're getting on Sunday won't disappoint either. I mean, this Rams Patriots game is going to be tough. But Ian O'Connor had a great point. You know, the Giants and those two wins, they went ahead and the middle of that defensive line, they put pressure on Tom Brady. And that's exactly what the Rams have, and in fact, probably better than what the Giants had, in Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald rushing the passer from the inside, the interior of that defensive line, putting pressure on those guards in the center to create some sort of pressure up the middle on Tom Brady to force him to scramble, which he's not good at because he's not mobile, then you can cause a little bit of problem. But he's Tom Brady. He can adjust to anything. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be close. I think the Patriots are going to win. I think they'll win by... Oh, we're doing this already? Okay. 28 to 21. I'm better write it down right now. New England 28, the Rams 21. And there really is nothing like getting ready for a Super Bowl, right? I mean, it's the one time a year where everybody has a party. It doesn't matter if their team's in it or not. It's like a holiday. Like, I think the day after we should just be off. We've been, a lot of you, drinking all day and, you know, eating. It's like Thanksgiving, Christmas-type food intake, barbecues going off everywhere, people ordering pizza, you know, taking bets on who's going to score the first touchdown, who's going to carry the ball first, who's going to throw a pick first, who's going to run for a score first, who's going to sack the quarterback first. It's just a fun time. I've hosted a couple of Super Bowl parties. My team, the Raiders, well, I was 11 when they won the Super Bowl. The last time. 10? 11? Something like that. Cameron Worrell wasn't even born yet. Cam, were you born in 1983? Oh, Cam was like 3. He was 3 years old. Okay. And so I've hosted a few parties without my Raiders being even sniffing a Super Bowl. It's just fun. We get to have a good time, you know, play, go outside and play catch, and you know, families turn it into traditions. It doesn't matter if their team's in it or not. Play a little cornhole now. That's what people do. You know, Madden tournaments. We had that at Reedley College on the Super Bowl week. It's just fun. And this game is going to be fun. Now, your teams may not be in it. And the commercials may or may not suck. But the stuff on the field between these two teams, is going to be great. You need local angles? Well, we just had Henry Ellard on. Maureen Brady, former Fresno State All-American pitcher, Tom Brady's older sister. You got Henry Ellard to play for both the Rams and the Patriots, for what that's worth. You've got Jared Goff, who was recruited to Cal by Jeff Tedford. Although he never got a chance to coach him, he did recruit him to Cal. So there's all that good stuff there. Stephon Page at the Super Bowl having a good time. Told me that he was hanging out with Lawrence Taylor and Jim Brown today. It's pretty good company. Not bad. So, love the Super Bowl. Love Super Bowl weekend. Prepping food, getting ready to have fun with friends and family. And plus, I think we're going to have a really good football game in Atlanta. Of course, 54-51, Rams-Chiefs Part 2. That would have been fun. Another game like that would have been epic. But these two teams have the ability to have a high-scoring game as well. But I think it's going to be 28-21 New England. But it's going to be competitive all the way through. I don't think New England's going to jump out to a huge lead early. I just think it's going to be tight the whole time. And the Rams will have a chance to score, and they'll have the ball at the end of the game. I think Jared Goff will get picked off with a chance for the game-time drive, or maybe game winner if they go for two. I don't know. It's all predictions. It's all fun and games. See what happens Super Sunday. Hour number two coming up. Maureen Brady, Cameron Worrell, Andrew Martin. We are live in the zone from the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Time to hit that sports center.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe it not? Oh, yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back in!
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in a storm, man.
All right, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Zone, live from the Fieldhouse here in Fresno, off of Copper. I am George Takata. Thank you so much for joining us. Great first hour. Henry Ellard, Stephon Page, Ian O'Connor. And hour number two, we kick it off, well, ladies first, right? Cameron Worrell, Andrew Martin will join me later. But now we are joined live from Atlanta, Maureen Brady, former Fresno State All-American pitcher and the sister of the legendary, the GOAT, Tom Brady. Maureen, we've done this now, what, second time in 3 weeks? So I appreciate it. How's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing really good. Thanks. How was dinner with Tommy tonight?
Well, we're in the middle of dinner.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry to
interrupt. We're in the middle of dinner. All good, though. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. So, well, can we talk to him? I'm just kidding. I know he's busy. We're not going to do that. you have to ask, right? You have to ask.
Right, of course.
How proud are you of your brother for getting to his ninth Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. So it's so cool. It's just unbelievable. So proud of him. He just worked so hard, and, you know, they beat some really good teams to get here. So we're just enjoying it this year. Our family is just totally, totally enjoying it.
Your family's enjoying it. Your mom is healthy. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, thank God.
Yes. And can you believe it's been nine? This is what, trip number nine. He has a chance to win Super Bowl number six. I mean, I'm sure it never gets old, but even can you just step back and think, man, I can't believe we're doing this for a ninth time.
We've said it probably 100 times since we've been here. We've said we cannot believe we're back here again. It's unbelievable. Super, super fun. And, you know, every time it's been different. Every city's different. The experience is different. It just feels like your first time every time. It's just super fun. Super fun.
What's been the highlight of the week so far?
I think our dinner tonight. I think just having our whole family together. My brother's wife just got here this afternoon about 3:30, and having all the kids and, you know, all the cousins and just my sisters and brother and all the husbands and, you know, wife here. Just that's the highlight for our family now. It's just kind of everybody being together and, you know, having dinner tonight. And then that's the highlight of the weekend. Tomorrow we have family picture day. That's always super fun. And then, you know, then we don't see Tommy. You know, he goes off and, you know, he's focused and everything. And so tonight's really the celebration night for us.
When you guys are sitting at the table having dinner like you are tonight, do you even talk about football?
No, we don't. We really don't. It's kind of, no, we don't. You know, we just kind of laugh about stuff or, actually my best friend here, Melissa, if you remember Melissa Thatcher, she's here. She was my third baseman. So her and her husband are here, and, Giselle's mom and dad are here this year, which is a first. And so you know, we just kind of talk regular stuff. What's going on with everybody? We were talking about our days at Fresno State. Tell me, you're laughing. We used to go to this place called Drinking with Lincoln. And it was like a dollar, or no, it was a penny a drink. And Tommy, Melissa and I were like 18 or 19, and Tommy was like 14. He came to visit us, and man, that turned into a long night.
Did you ever take Tommy to the Red Wave Inn? The Red Wave Inn.
Oh, God, I don't think so. You know what? When he came to visit us that summer, it was. I think in between my freshman to sophomore year that summer, or it was sophomore to junior. So we had an apartment, you know, mm-hmm. So I don't think we ever took him there. But when we started talking about it and telling everybody, his face perked up. He remembered that night. It was so funny.
Well, it was great.
Comment yesterday about me being the best athlete in the family, oh, man, mm-hmm. That started about World War VIII. In our family, between all the nieces and cousins and sisters, that didn't go real well.
Maureen Brady is our guest. Now, we really do appreciate it, because someone did ask him about, obviously, you, and he said what you just mentioned, you're the best athlete in the family, and he gave Fresno State a lot of love. He gave Margie Wright some love,
yeah.
Trent Dilfer, and he said he liked watching the Trent Dilfer teams. Did he actually go to Bulldog Stadium and watch a football game, or is that something he just watched on TV?
No, I think he did. I think we all went one time, and my family had come down, and we all went and watched the game, and I think that was really, yeah, I think he has great memories of Fresno State. We had a lot of fun when I played. He was younger, you know, so that was a really big deal. I was the oldest, and so they all would come and visit. We'd go to the football games, or, you know, they'd come to the softball games, and they just had a great time in Fresno.
So, when you're having dinner like this, I'm assuming for him, Tom, I can't call him Tommy, you can. For Tom, that this is a time for him to kind of relax, maybe decompress from the preparation, just enjoy for a couple of hours family, his wife, the kids, loved ones, friends. And this is about the time where he doesn't want to think about football. It's kind of refreshing for him
totally.
At this point, right?
Totally, totally. And then tomorrow, that's what I'm saying, like tonight's really the celebration. It's just kind of, all the kids are running around crazy and excited to see each other. He's loose. He's laughing, enjoying everybody. And then tomorrow you see the face changes. He's talking to you, but he's not really talking to you. It's talking through you. His eyes kind of turn a little. They look a little different. So tomorrow gets real focused. So tonight's super fun. Tonight's a fun night.
Since you were very competitive at Fresno State, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and how you can relate to preparation and getting serious as Super Sunday gets closer. What can you share with us about how he will be on Saturday or Sunday morning, about how laser-focused he has to be and how laser-focused he already is now?
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll only see him tomorrow morning when we have our family pictures at the stadium. And then after that, they're gone. So we won't see him, you know, tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night, or, you know, all day Sunday till after the game. So, and we haven't seen him all week. You know, we went to this welcome, the Patriots have a welcome party last night, and a lot, you know, some of the players were there, and, you know, he stays real, real, real tight with his regular routine. So, you know, we didn't see him until tonight at dinner. So, and he's just having a good time, real loose, and then tomorrow it all changes.
You're away from the table, right? I hope we're not interrupting dinner with this.
Yes, no, I came outside. I couldn't hear inside. There's too many kids.
Okay, great. How many texts do you get, you know, from your former teammates and friends of, you know, congratulations, and how grateful how happy are you to get all the love from
oh,
everybody?
My God, so cool. After we won the Kansas City game, I had like 175 text messages. My phone just did not stop. And then, you know, let's see. Then after Tommy said, you know, the Fresno State thing, I got a bunch of texts today, one from my coach, and she was just so thankful. You know, she sent me the nicest text today, really sweet text. And then it's funny. I mean, if we were to win the game, Oh, my God. Well, like I said, I had 175 texts a couple weeks ago. So, and then if we didn't win, like after the Eagles game last year, I didn't get one text. Stay silent. It goes silent for a couple days. They know I'm not talking for a couple days.
So what happens? A couple more questions and we'll let you go.
Okay.
So what happens on Sunday, win or lose, after the game? I'm sure you get together with him and things like that, but do you have another little family gathering and then off you go? Or do the Patriots leave right after the Super Bowl if they lose?
No, they so after the game, win or lose, there's a party.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they win, it's much bigger, or it's really fun. And if they lose, it's okay. So we'll see them. We'll see them after the game, and then they usually stay till the next day, and then they go home. They go home. Everybody leaves on Monday.
And finally, how nervous do you get on Saturday night?
Do
you sleep at all, or are you just chomping at the bit? Maybe just can't sleep because you're just so hyped up for the game.
You know what? I think we do get nervous for sure. When you wake up Sunday morning, it's like, okay, it's game day, and you're just because it's just such a it's a long day, and it's just so exciting. So you're just nervous, of course. We're very, the family's nervous. Everybody always says, oh, my God, it's so fun. But you're nervous because you want them to do well. You don't want them to get hurt, things like that. So, it's nerve-wracking, very nerve-wracking. So, but, this year we said we're just going to enjoy this whole thing, It's coming to an end pretty soon, and, this really, truly could be our last time. Hopefully not, but it could be.
He says he wants to play 4 more years. It may not be the last time.
Yeah, it may not be the last time. Well, we're just appreciating it. I mean, the first Super Bowl we said, oh, my gosh, this doesn't happen. We're just gonna appreciate this. We're probably never going to come back. This is our ninth time. So we really said today, we're just going to enjoy this whole thing. And we are. We totally are. So, maybe it happens another time. If not, we've been so lucky and so blessed and having our family together, and Tommy's so successful, and, he's having a lot of fun. I've never seen him so happy as this week, the last couple weeks and this week. He's real happy, really loose, and I think just really enjoying it. So it's super fun for all of us.
Last question. If I gave you a softball and I gave Tom a bat, could you strike him out right now?
Oh, I'd strike his ass out for sure. For sure.
Would it be a straight fastball? Would you throw him a little curve action? Or just give him the
heat? I'd give him a rise ball right by his chin.
So you'd brush him back and then
never
you'd strike
hit
him
it.
Out. You wouldn't even
What'd
touch
you say?
You, so you'd give him a little chin music and then you'd throw him an outside corner fastball.
I'd give him a couple at his chin and then I'd probably go outside.
Not a chance
He'd
in hell,
He'd look like
huh?
a fool. Not a chance in hell.
Well, with that, we will let you go. Maureen, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
For letting us interrupt your dinner. Good luck to the Patriots.
No worries.
Good luck to your brother.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hopefully we do this again next year.
Hell, if they win, we're going to do it again next week. I'm just kidding.
We'll, I like it. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks, Maureen. Appreciate it. Maureen Brady joining us live from outside of a restaurant in Atlanta. And no chance that Tommy could hit the rise ball. No chance. Gotta take a break, come back. Andrew Martin right around the corner, live from Atlanta for the Super Bowl coverage. We are live in the zone, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, we are back in the zone. Boy, it's sure is a lot of fun speaking to Maureen Brady and It's a seasonal conversation. Fresno State retire her jersey. That would be fun. Bring her back for that. Andrew Martin, he is in Atlanta. Super Bowl coverage for KC24, CBS 47. He will be joining me here momentarily. Cam Worrell eagerly awaiting his turn on the radio. He gets nervous, so he's enjoying a quick little Diet Coke before he joins me here. So, a lot of fun. Andrew has been doing live hits, as they say in TV, for multiple stations, not just for the Fresno stations. He's about ready to do a live remote for the Las Vegas affiliate. They have 16 sports anchors, reporters from the various stations in the company doing work for over 80 stations. And Andrew joins me now live from Atlanta. And, Andrew, you're about to do live shot number what on the week?
Oh, George, to be honest, I lost track. I'm doing about 50 a day.
50
so
a day?
If you extrapolate that, although it's lighter on the weekend. So probably, that would be 250 Monday through Friday, probably a total of 50 over the weekend. So we're looking at about 300 live reports over the 7 days of live coverage that we're providing everybody here.
Good golly, Miss Molly. So there's 16 of you, about 80, over 80, like 84 stations, right? I tried to count the mic flags in your photo on Twitter. Was that 84 mic flags?
Actually, I think we have over 90 mic flags. Oh. We've actually split it up into three pads. So I don't want to get too technical for you, but we've got a team from Providence, Rhode Island. They're handling all of the New England reports. I'm handling all of the Rams reports for our stations out west, but I'm also part of the evening team. So we have a total of 16 people here from our company. On air, we have 12, but of those 12, there are only four that are handling the bulk of all the live reports, and I'm one of those four. So with the Rams making it, more got added to my plate, but I'm also still doing live reports for about an eight-hour window a day. So it's grueling. It's a lot. I can handle it. I've done it before. Sure. And it's also obviously exciting, you know, to be at the Super Bowl. So I'm not complaining about the assignment, but if I didn't say that I'm also looking forward to coming back to Fresno on Monday and actually getting some sleep, then I'd be lying. So it's been a great experience so far. Obviously it's going to get better because, you know, with the weekend coming, we have fewer live reports to do, but the actual game is on Sunday and we get to enjoy the game. So that's pretty nice.
I might be able to help you with Maureen Brady if I can try to find her. You can snag an interview with her if you'd like.
Well, you know what's crazy is you probably saw that report that I did, and somebody in our group asked Tom Brady about his family, and his answer was Maureen is the best. I mean, I didn't listen to your conversation with Maureen, unfortunately. I couldn't hear it from out here, and I've been doing other things. But I imagine that she was reacting to the fact that Tom Brady, who is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, is not even arguably the best, athlete in his family. Well, that thing has just blown up on social media. You know, it's all the interactions, all of the traction that it's getting. I got an email from Margie Wright, who obviously coached Maureen at Fresno State. She was asking to get a copy of that clip from Illinois because she heard about it but didn't actually see it. So it's really kind of interesting how one little soundbite, one answer to a question, has a lot of people talking. But Maureen was a great athlete at Fresno State, and in that answer, Tom Brady mentioned Maureen Brady. He met his sister, obviously. He mentioned Margie Wright, Fresno State, and Trent Dilfer. So yep. Fresno got a lot of love from Tom Brady just a few days ahead of the biggest game of the season for him and one of the biggest games of his life.
That's right. Fresno State needs to market that soundbite. That's for sure. What's been the highlight of your coverage for Super Bowl week, the one thing that stands out? Anybody you've interviewed or just a moment or anything like that?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think the highlight will be the actual game on Sunday, just because that's the reason why we're here. You know, you come to the Super Bowl to see the two best teams in football, the two teams left standing, actually compete for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. So in a couple of days, my answer will change because it will definitely be being in the stadium on game day and then talking about it on live TV after the game. But so far right now, of all the things that I've seen and done, To be honest, it was what I did earlier today. I went to the College Football Hall of Fame, which relocated from South Bend, Indiana to Atlanta a few years ago. And being in that environment, because I'm a huge college football fan, being in that environment was really, really cool. They've got stuff on display from Clemson's national championship. They brought out some Tom Brady and Jared Goff college stuff. Brady went to Michigan. Goff obviously went to Cal just because of those, you know, those two and their, and the Super Bowl being in town. But just seeing their gigantic helmet wall. They have 770 college football helmets. I found Fresno State's helmet. I'm going to be talking about it later tonight on both 47 and 24. But just being in the College Football Hall of Fame, you walk in, you've got that wow, that aha moment. So that was really cool to see today.
Is it tough to localize the coverage because you have to work for so many different stations?
Yes, it absolutely is, because when we put together feature stories, we have to make sure that those stories are not market specific, because any station within our ownership group could potentially take and have us toss to one of the stories that we put together. So we have to make sure that they are, you know, they're topics that are generic enough that anybody in any city can be interested in those. But the nice thing with having, you know, the nice thing for KC24 and CBS 47 is with me being at the Super Bowl, I can also look for those sidebar stories. It takes more out of my day and extra effort to do it, but I really like when I can localize stuff like that, like the whole Tom Brady, Maureen Brady thing, you know, getting a soundbite with Trent Dilfer, who, of course, was, you know, Fresno State's quarterback in the early 90s. He quarterbacked that Freedom Bowl team. I mean, we know the story, Super Bowl champ. Being able to talk to somebody with a Fresno connection, you know, really hits home for people who are just watching on TV and they say, wait a second, that guy went to Fresno State, or that person did this, or that person did this. So I know I'm giving you a long answer to a short question, but the answer is yes, it definitely is more challenging because I have to do stuff for more than just, you know, the stations that I report for in Fresno. But at the same time, it's gratifying to be able to do that. And so far, knock on wood, we have not had any hiccups. Everything that we've done has turned out pretty well.
So give us a preview of what we can expect on KC24/CBS 47 at 6 o'clock.
Well, tonight I'm on KC24 at 6:30. I'm on CBS 47 at 7 o'clock, and I'm gonna be talking about my College Football Hall of Fame experience, where I interviewed one of the VPs for sales and marketing about what goes on at the hall, and I specifically am gonna reference Fresno State. You know, again, there's 770 football helmets on that wall when you first walk in, and they have indicator lights on them. And the light was blue for the Fresno State helmet. It's a red helmet with the, you know, they do have the green V on the logo, and the blue indicator light is on. And there's a really interesting story behind that, which I'm going to share with our viewers. I don't want to give it away here, but if you tune in to KC24 and to CBS 47 tonight, you'll find out exactly why that light is on. So every day what I've tried to do is find some type of Fresno connection that I can talk about and then also share my experiences, what I've been up to, what I've seen, you know, kind of the flavor of the area. I tried to do that at the Olympics as well, you know, just kind of giving everybody, you know, a first-person account of what to expect in case they were to come here for the actual event themselves. So Atlanta's a great city. I've been to the state of Georgia before. I've been to Savannah, but never Atlanta. Happy to make the trip and looking forward to a great game on Sunday. I really do think – I think the Patriots are going to win, but I really do think these are two evenly matched teams. You've got the youth, you know, the youth and the vigor of the Rams and the experience and the wisdom of the Patriots, and I think it's going to be a really good game on Sunday.
Plus, Jared Goff was Jeff Tedford's last recruit at Cal. You got
that's
that,
right.
Too.
That's
passing
right. Well,
down,
unfortunately, because – yeah, well, unfortunately, because Jared Goff is, you know, was the quarterback of one of the teams, you're not going to get a one-on-one interview with those guys. Like even Tom Brady, you probably saw in that, you know, in that interview, he's got cameras up and down all around in his face. I mean, you're not going to get a sit-down one-on-one with him unless you happen to be the broadcast crew that's actually putting this game on. So we couldn't get close to Jared Goff, unfortunately, because I would have loved to have asked about that, you know, on that media night scrum where, you know, they call it opening night now. It used to be media night. It's opening night where all of the players from both teams are available. They actually sell tickets. You know, fans can go into the arena and watch the whole craziness unfold. But all of the big-name guys are on podiums. You're not going to get them one-on-one just kind of milling about the room. So I would have loved to have been able to ask Jared Goff about his relationship with Jeff Tedford, but unfortunately we couldn't get close enough to him for that. So we used that opportunity to try and find other stories and tell other unique things. We've done stories on security. We've done stories on the actual stadium. We've done stories on Centennial Olympic Park because obviously the Summer Olympics you know, in Atlanta were in 1996. That was actually the last summer games in the U.S. until Los Angeles gets them in 2028. So just trying to find stuff that really hits home with people who can't make the trip here themselves. And I think, you know, I'll certainly defer to the viewers on this, but I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far.
Well, I think you have too. I appreciate the time. And it's 5:30. You got to get ready for that Vegas hit. So we'll let you go. enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the experience. You do a great job always, man. Appreciate you, and thank you for taking the time to join me for a couple minutes.
Hey, my pleasure, George. You know, I'm always there for you. You know that, and obviously we worked very closely together at 47, and then also when you jumped ship to 24, we're still in the same building. So anything for you if I can swing it, and, you know, I'm going to have to go back and listen to your interview with Maureen because I'm very curious to hear what she had to say to react to, you know, what Tom said about her. So, anyway, appreciate you having me on, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. She calls him Tommy. All right, we'll talk to you soon, man. See ya.
All right, see you, George. Take care.
All right. You too. Andrew Martin. Basically, you ask Andrew Martin, how you doing? And he'll give you a five-minute answer. His coverage, KC24, CBS 47, and every station that's affiliated with Nexstar Broadcasting on the West Coast, you can catch him there. And his stuff he posts on the web. He does a great job. Take a break. Cam Worrell will join me. Dissect Super Bowl 53, Rams Patriots. We are live in the zone from the Field House on 940 ESPN, Nevada's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Field House, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
Wrong. Here's George Takata and Cameron Worrell.
Hey, George.
How's it going, Cam? 6 years NFL, Bears, Dolphins, NFC champion. What year was that?
2007.
2007?
Quite a long time ago.
That's 12 years ago.
I mean, I saw an article on Twitter that listed the top 10 Super Bowls over the last 10 years and looked to see where ours was ranked and realized that that was 12 years ago.
12 years ago. You were 28 years old?
I was 27 years old.
27. Because you're 40 now.
You 27 plus 12 is not 40.
I know, but you're going to be
for
40.
For the math majors out there.
I'm no math major. That's why I do what I do. so Cam's here to, of course, he's the, he's on the sideline for every Fresno State game. Does a great job reporting for Bulldog football. Loves doing that with Coach Hill and Paul Leffler. You know, I've asked this question before when we were on TV together, but this is the weekend of a Super Bowl, and since you've played in one, you know, what's the mindset on a Friday night, less than 2 days before the game?
I laughed at Maureen Brady's comment about, you know, talking to Tom tonight, and he's Tom, and they're having a good time, and then she talks to him tomorrow, and he's a totally different dude. You know, for me, the day before the game, I didn't want to talk to anybody. You know how much I love and enjoy my wife. I don't want to talk to her the day before a game. I didn't. I didn't want to see my kids. I didn't want to talk to family. I wanted nothing to do with anybody because the focus starts. The focus starts tonight for me, 48 hours before Coach Hill preached that to us. That's when the focus starts to narrow. So the day before a game.
Any game?
Any game,
any
yeah.
Game.
Any game, yeah. And I think the best part about that Chicago Bears team that I was with that went to the Super Bowl, we treated every game the same. Mm-hmm. We felt we were good enough to beat whoever we played. So Super Bowl, NFC Championship, we prepared exactly the same. Our attitude was the same. We were loose. I think that's a benefit. That's why the Patriots don't get overwhelmed ever in big games. They treat it like just another game. So every player tomorrow, that focus is starting to narrow. That bullseye starts to get right in the middle of that vision. And everything else that happened, interviews, family, friends getting to town, that stuff is gone by the wayside, and you start to focus on what do I have to do to become a world champion.
And Tom's taking family photos tomorrow, and then that's it. I mean, you didn't even want to take a family photo on a Saturday.
No. Nope. It was for me, really, 48 hours is when it started. Friday night is when it started. I started to kind of lock in, especially, I mean, you know, Chicago, I played special teams. I played some defense, but not a lot. When I was a starter in Miami, my focus was 48 hours before, it was all football for the next 48 hours because that's how prepared I had to be. And I know Tom Brady's probably the same. He'll have fun, I'm sure, tonight. But once he wakes up Saturday, it's game time. You know, there's nothing else that is going to distract him.
Can you believe he's been to 9 of these?
No, it's incredible.
And for the people who say cheating and all that stuff, it's just all a load of whatever.
It doesn't matter. You know, they run the ball. He throws it all over the place. They have deep threats. They throw it to Gronk. They have Julian Edelman. They have Wes Welker. It doesn't matter. They are a chameleon of an offense, and he's the guy that runs it all. And, you know, you have to give a ton of credit to Bill Belichick. You have to give a ton of credit to Josh McDaniels for the way that he's transformed, you know, I think the latter part of Tom Brady's career. But Tom Brady is the guy who gets it all done. He's the guy who's unfazed in the fourth quarter. I mean, every one of their Super Bowl games, they've come down to fourth quarter drives where the Patriots need to score to win. And sometimes he scores and they still don't win. That has nothing to do with him. He gets the job done. But it's amazing for him to still be doing it, to go on the road to Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes, who
he's beat him twice,
lit up the NFL this year. I mean, demolished the NFL as a first-year starter. For Tom Brady to still do those, we'll never see anything like this Patriots run for, you know, the rest of the NFL's existence. We'll never see a quarterback that has the longevity and the success that Tom Brady has had ever. We will never see this again.
Now, when you were with the Dolphins, you had to prepare for New England twice.
Yep.
So you played Tom Brady twice. I don't know how many times you played against him when you were in Chicago, but
just once.
Just once. What's your record against the Patriots?
0-3.
0-3.
0-3. When I was with Miami, you know, we were 1-15. That was the year that they went 18-0 before they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, which if they play that game 100 times, the Patriots win 99. The Giants won that one. That was the only one they would win. But in Chicago, it was the year we were undefeated. I think we were like 11 or 12-0. We went on the road. Ricky Manning couldn't play, which kind of affected the way that we were able to defend the Patriots. But, you know, they did a good job. They beat us at home. It was close. We were hoping they would beat the Colts because we would have smashed the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Smashed
really?
Them. Smashed them. You know,
defensively.
They exploited Ricky not being there. We didn't have really a nickel back that could play, so we played three linebackers, and they spread us out, and they had success. Ricky in that game, we demolished the Patriots, and we're Super Bowl champs.
So
I'm wearing a ring right now instead of having an NFC Championship ring that sits at home all the time because it doesn't need to come out.
Dusty?
Dusty.
So you were pulling for New England to win over?
For sure. And they had a big lead in the second half, and then Peyton Manning came back and got them. They just posed different issues for us, and they had the ability to run the ball, and the Patriots really didn't that year. And you know, we had a great game plan, just didn't execute it the way that the Colts did
now,
that day.
We've talked a lot about New England today. You know, we led it off with Henry Ellard, of course, one of the greatest Rams of all time. And
should be a Hall of Famer.
Should be a Hall of Famer. Everybody agrees with that, except for the voters, for some stupid reason. And, you know, but let's give some love to the Los Angeles Rams and Jared Goff and Todd Gurley's going to be 100%. That's what they say. Their defense, they paid mega bucks for it, and it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give the Rams some love. They have a lot of fans here in the Valley. What do you credit to them most of all for getting to this point?
Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. I mean, first and foremost, Sean McVay. Well, everybody knows he's an offensive genius, and he's transformed Jared Goff in two seasons. You know, people were talking about Jared Goff as one of the biggest busts as a first-round pick ever after his rookie year, which is...
Ever? No, I've got a Jamarcus Russell reference there that claims otherwise.
Which will never be topped ever unless a number one pick never plays a down.
And a Ryan Leaf mention here, too.
But he was number two, though. Peyton Manning went before him, so you have to give Ryan Leaf a little bit of a pass if you're comparing him to Jamarcus Russell. But he's totally transformed Jared Goff. He's totally transformed that offense. He brought in Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
They signed Robert Woods to an extension. Like, they've put the pieces around Jared Goff to be successful. And Sean McVay is the driving force behind all of it. He is a football savant. He's been around it his entire life. He was groomed to be this head coach. And then he passes the defensive responsibilities off to Wade Phillips and takes care of his offense. I mean, that dynamic of having a young offensive mastermind with a defensive coordinator that can handle the entire side of the football, that's a blueprint that the Bears used to have success this year, the Eagles used to have success a couple years ago. It's a blueprint that young coaches in the NFL can use to have success, and Sean McVay is the epitome of that.
And then he takes a guy like C.J. Anderson off the scrap heap. He runs for like 100 yards for a couple weeks in a row,
yep.
And he's going to play, I think, a pretty big role in this game.
If he plays as big of a role in this game as he did in the NFC Championship game, then the Rams are going to get beat straight up. CJ Anderson is an awesome story. He's from the Bay. He's an Oakland guy.
Played yeah, the Raiders had him for like a week.
Played
and
at
a half.
Laney College and doesn't even look like he should be a football player right now. And he's balled out and helped get this team to the Super Bowl. But he's limited when you compare him and Todd Gurley and how much Todd Gurley means to that offense. If Todd Gurley's not healthy and C.J. Anderson has to carry the load, the Patriots are going to take away C.J. Anderson and they're going to make Jared Goff beat them with a game plan that I think the Rams would have trouble exploiting. If Gurley's in the game, mm-hmm. he's going to be a huge weapon catching the ball out of the backfield, and he will neutralize a lot of what New England's going to try to do.
Ian O'Connor talked about when the Giants beat the Patriots, it was that interior defensive line forcing the guards and center to, you know, pushing them away to get to Brady, applying some pressure up the middle. The Rams are just built for that.
Yeah.
They paid for that with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. How big are those two guys? How big do they have to be on Sunday to win the game?
They have to control the line of scrimmage. You're like 100%. And I think Dante Flower, you can throw him into that mix too because he's had a lot of success against the Patriots on the edge.
Great trade acquisition.
Yeah, for sure. But and Les Snead. Look, Les Snead deserves as much credit as we give Sean McVay for developing that roster and believing in Sean McVay and bringing pieces in to help him. But look, you have to double Aaron Donald. You have to send extra attention to him. So I think Ndamukong Suh may be the biggest piece for that Rams defense because he's going to get matchups, one-on-one matchups, and he's going to have to win those one-on-one matchups for this Rams defense to slow that Patriots offense down. If he doesn't, if they can single block him, if they can single block Dante Flower and double Aaron Donald all day, it's Tom Brady throwing it all over the place.
Because those mighty mites can get open in the middle and get open down the sideline, you know. If Tom Brady could have one player back from his previous Super Bowl teams or any of his teams to play on Sunday, would it be Randy Moss?
100%. No question about it. What's really amazing about Tom Brady, too, is if you think about his career and the weapons that he's had around him, mm-hmm. Gronk is for sure a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably the greatest tight end to ever play in the NFL. And then he had Randy Moss for a couple years, but that one year they went undefeated. They didn't win the Super Bowl. And then Tom Brady got hurt, and then Randy Moss was gone. So he had Randy Moss really for one year, and he broke every record that existed during that year. Their offense did. Tom Brady did. Randy Moss caught 22 touchdowns. So if those two would have played the bulk of their primes together, I mean, they would have rattled off five or six Super Bowls in a row. They were impossible to defend, and that's why you saw them make that run that they did in 2007.
Who's the guy on either team that we're not talking about that needs to play a pivotal role for their team to win?
Oh, probably Nickell Robey-Coleman, the infamous pass interference non-call offender from the NFC Championship, because he's going to be matched up against Julian Edelman for the majority of the snaps that New England's on the field. And, you know, one thing that this Patriots offense has done with Wes Welker or Danny Amendola, now Julian Edelman, when Wes Welker was in New England, he ran option routes nonstop. And Tom Brady would throw it where the defender wasn't, and Wes Welker would catch it, and he would pick up 5, 6, 8 yards, and that's what Julian Edelman is to this offense. You have to be able to neutralize some of that because it's just an extension of what they want to do in the run game. So Robey-Coleman will be probably the biggest piece of that secondary. They don't have a deep threat. They don't have a guy on the outside that will go one-on-one and beat you snap after snap after snap. Mm-hmm. It's Gronk when they do put him in that situation, and it's Julian Edelman working in the middle of the field.
Okay. So Robey-Coleman for the Rams and for the Patriots?
Ooh, probably Devin McCourty, because I think Devin McCourty is going to be responsible, one, for doubling Brandon Cooks a lot, and if not, he's going to be the free player to pick up whatever deep threat comes out of all those bunch crossing routes that the Rams are going to run. He's going to be responsible for diagnosing what they're doing and who the threat is that I need to be responsible for. Or the Rams are better probably than the Patriots of using space to get guys open, mm-hmm. condensing a formation and then using that space that they create after the snap to get guys open. Devin McCourty is going to be the guy responsible for trying to take that first open option away.
Look at that. You picked two secondary guys. What a well, shot.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little score prediction, too. on Super Bowl 53. We'll get that from Cam. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, wrapping up our Super Bowl special with Cameron Worrell. We've had Henry Ellard, Stephon Page, a little cameo by Mike Merriweather, former Steelers linebacker, Ian O'Connor, Maureen Brady, Andrew Martin, and then we saved the best last for everybody. We got Cam on.
What a lineup you had today. Henry Ellard is the GOAT Fresno State receiver and should be in the
over
Hall of
Devontae.
Fame. Yeah.
Over Keyshawn Johnson.
Yep.
Over Stephen Baker.
GOAT.
Stephon Page.
GOAT
Rodney Wright. Gene Taylor. Malcolm Sebron.
Yep.
Titus Winans.
GOAT Fresno State receiver.
Better than all of them.
He did it before all of them.
Is he better than all of them?
When he retired, he was third all-time in receiving yards in the NFL. You talk to me when another Fresno State receiver reaches that.
I'm talking about stats-wise.
Devontae was so dominant when he was here. You can't go anywhere but with Devontae. But Henry Ellard,
that's the best at Fresno State.
Yeah, Henry Ellard changed offensive football at Fresno State. They were vertical because Henry Ellard was able to be vertical. And then Stephon Page, another great, all-time great.
Stephon Page told me today that he was hanging out with Jim Brown and Lawrence Taylor.
That's good company that they – see, when you're one of the greatest in Fresno State history, that's the company that you keep.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then Jeff Tedford's throwing those guys the ball.
Right.
That's a good team.
A good weekend for Fresno State. You got those guys out there celebrating. Maureen Brady gets a lot of love from her brother Tom.
Tommy.
And yeah. Fresno State blows up and gets all that attention.
I mean, automatically we talk about Tom Brady around here. We call Maureen up, and she's like, yeah, sure, no problem.
which is cool. You know, Fresno State, once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty apparent. She's not calling in to any local radio shows to do an interview about her brother being in his ninth Super Bowl if it's not in Fresno. That's the type of love that she has for Fresno State. Yeah. That stuff never leaves.
She said she has a former teammate, her third baseman's there with her in Atlanta.
Never leaves.
It's
never
great.
Leaves.
And then Margie Wright just loved the fact that Tom Brady said her name a couple times.
She's a legend. Margie Wright's a legend. Yep. People might not know now. You know, she might have been gone for so long that people don't understand that. I mean, she was one of the greatest college softball coaches of all time. Mm-hmm. And they had a dynasty here at Fresno State.
They did.
And Maureen was part of that.
There you go. They've had some great pitchers. I mean, Terry Carpenter, Maureen Brady, Amanda Scott, Jamie Southern. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. Dominance in the circle. And you know, it's a great tradition. So, talk about football, not softball. We're done with softball for now, maybe next week. But how do you see Super Bowl 53 shaping up on the scoreboard?
You know it's going to be close, right? The Patriots, all they do is play close Super Bowl games. Mm-hmm. But I can't pick against Belichick and Tom Brady
when
it comes down the stretch, because it's going to come down to a fourth quarter possession. And as much as I love Sean McVay, what he's done, as much as I respect Wade Phillips and what he can do defensively, you can't pick against the GOAT, Bill Belichick. I just can't do it. I've done it before. We were sitting in my living room watching that 28-3 Falcons game, and then the Patriots roared back and won that one. It's
amazing.
It seems like they're destined to get it done this year again.
And Maureen was saying that Tom is a lot more relaxed this time. I think if you have a relaxed Tom Brady,
what does he have to be worried about, though?
Nothing.
He has five Super Bowl championships. He has five rings. He has a whole handful of Super Bowl rings. Like, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. There's nothing for him to worry about. Just go out and sling it. He knows he's going to be protected. This whole game changed because Tom Brady needed to be protected to go until he's 45, and it's happened. Mm-hmm. So he'll be good.
So you predict the Patriots to win. You really don't have a score. I have 28-21.
I'll go. I'll go 35-31.
Oh, you got a high scoring
game. Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? If the Rams win, you won't be surprised.
Not at all. I mean, they've been one of the better teams all season long. I thought it was going to be Chiefs and Rams. Patriots went in and got the upset in Kansas City. So the Rams were the best team for most of the season coming out of the NFC.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Cam. I appreciate it.
Fun stuff.
As always, fun stuff here at the Fieldhouse. It's starting to fill up. Enjoy your sports weekend, everybody. Hey, Clovis East, Clovis West.
Woo!
Boys basketball tonight at 7. Go to the Eagles Nest and check that out. It's going to be fun. That'll get you hyped up for sports. And then
let's go Clovis East. Get it done.
You can say that, not me. Thanks to all the guests. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Come to the Fieldhouse. Get a bite to eat, something to drink. We are in the zone next Friday as well. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Bye, everybody.